Today, I'd like to invite you to join me on an imaginary journey. We'll see sights you may have never seen. We'll hear music you've never heard. We'll feel emotions you never thought existed. Come take a journey of the mind, a journey of the soul, an adventure that emerges slowly, but soon becomes an incredible experience not to be missed. Our ultimate destination is far, and yet it's just around the next bend of the heart. We can be there in the blink of an eye, but it takes us back thousands of years. It's a journey to what I call the Christmas dance. The dance began before the foundation of the world, but we were invited into the movement in the beginning. Some might call it ecstasy, a source of pure abundance, a walk in the garden in the cool of the day, like the call to Adam and Eve. Where are you? Come back. Dance with me. As we journey a little further through time, we hear the invitation again. May I have this dance? Oh, don't be afraid, Abram. I know all the steps. You're safe with me. So Abram, soon to be Abraham, walked onto the dance floor by faith, not knowing where he was going, but assured of who was leading. Although Sarah was not as young as she had been, she eventually joined in the fun and laughter as she learned to sway back and forth across the floor in time with Creator's melody. Unfortunately, Jacob was a slow learner, and by the time he fully had joined the dance, he did so with a limp. On the other hand, Joseph sensed the music at an early age, but his brothers claimed that he danced to the beat of a different drummer. Ah, then there was Jochebed, a very unlikely dancer, for she lived as an alien among those groaning in Egyptian slavery. Yet she was determined to step free of the chains and release the source of her song in the bulrushes. How could she have possibly known that one day all the Israelites would join her sons Moses and Aaron along with daughter Miriam as they danced and sang, "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation." It seems that Joshua and Caleb had a lot to learn about line dancing, or perhaps it was all the other spies who missed their cue. Talk about a change in tempo. 40 years in the wilderness is a bit too much of a slow dance for even me. But we must hurry along now if we're going to make it in time for the Christmas dance. Still, I would be remiss to rush past Deborah and Jael, because they must have been the first women in the world to teach men like Barak how you do the war dance and win. Of course, we all remember Gideon, who was forced to learn how to step out of the comfort zone of his wine press and glide into the ballroom, even though the big band sound was a bit frightening for him too at first. Ruth is one of my favorite and most romantic dancers we encounter on our journey, because she was blessed to change from the mourner's dirge to the wedding waltz, and eventually was destined to play a major role in the preparations for the Christmas dance. I wonder if she inspired the words to that song. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. Could dancing really be how we overcome? I know we're in a rush, but it would seem so unfair to bypass Hannah, who kept dancing even when barrenness had stolen her song. Wait a minute. I think we can hear some distant words after her song returned. He puts poor people on their feet again. He rekindles burned out lives with fresh hope, restoring dignity and respect. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's, and He will guard the feet of His saints. Don't be mistaken. Certain dances are not considered appropriate. We have the prime example of David, who had glided with the giants, breakdanced to dodge an angry king's spear, and swayed in the cave. Then he was criticized for leaping and celebrating before the ark, the symbol of victory and the glory of the Lord. Unfortunately, he also became an illustration of what happens when we slow dance with the wrong partner. The children of Israel also learned that same lesson as they sat in Babylon and hung their harps on the willows. Returning to our journey, we then encounter Esther. She showed us how to dance with a king. And Daniel demonstrated how to two-step among the lions. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Hosea revealed how unworthy we were to even don our ballet slippers. Yet God, in His infinite mercy, redeemed our dance card anyway. Just when I thought we were almost entering the time of that first Christmas dance, the music seems to be disappearing. Very quiet, nearly non-existent. 400 years must have felt like an eternity of silence for those who were waiting for the song. Listen. Seemingly out of nowhere, I hear a faint melody begin to stir again. Look, is that Elizabeth and Zacharias who are stepping onto the dance floor first? From all appearances, they've received an invitation personally delivered by Gabriel. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Just a moment. Is he stopping by Nazareth on his way back to the heavenlies? Surely Gabriel has heard that nothing good comes out of that little Galilean town. Who do you suppose is that shy young lady he's addressing? If Sarah was too old, certainly this one is too young to dance. Isn't she? There's no mistake. He is definitely saying, "Greetings, Mary. You are highly favored, and the Lord has sent me to offer you a very special invitation. He would like to know if he may have this dance." Of course, she's thoroughly shaken and trembling at the thought. Yet the offer is sounding pretty unbelievable, almost irresistible. The angel assures her, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. You remember Ruth's great-grandson, don't you? Your son will rule Jacob's house for eternity. No end ever to his kingdom." Well, certainly, Mary's not going to accept. After all, she is promised to someone else. Still a bit stunned, she asks, "How can this be possible? You see, no one has ever danced this way before." The angel reassures her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. Nothing is impossible with Yahweh. If we cup our hands to our ears, we can almost hear Mary humming a sweet melody and the soft progression of her footsteps as she walks onto the dance floor. Yes, I see it all now, she responds. I'm yours, Lord, ready to take your hand and dance. Let it be with me just as you say. How blessed is this one who believed every word that God said would come true. Mary is suddenly bursting with God news, dancing the song of her Savior. Listen closely as she sings. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation to generation. Precious friends, the Christmas dance does not end with the minuet of the Magi, nor does the movement cease as little hands stretch from a cradle in Bethlehem to grasp a cross on Golgotha. Christ still says to you today, may I have this dance? Don't be afraid or doubt. Accepting his invitation will only bring you freedom. A freedom to know him as he longs to be known. In this new place of intimacy, you will experience a fellowship, a sharing so honest, open, and real you cannot imagine. There is unity without loss of individuality. There's identity with royalty. There is peace that goes beyond comprehension. When one weeps, the other tastes salt. When we giggle, he smiles along. Better yet, when he smiles, we laugh. Only in a true relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can all of this be possible. The good news is, you've been invited to your own unique dance that can be reality every day. Don't be mistaken. The invitation did not originate with us. The Trinity initiated the possibility and burned the desire within us. Then Holy Spirit invited us to the communion already occurring in heaven, to enter an intimate conversation in progress. He is calling us to be participants in this heavenly relationship and be swept into the dance that has already begun. In prayer, praise, and worship on earth, we only began to taste the experience of the movement and interplay of Father, Son, and Spirit. Maybe this wasn't an imaginary journey after all. Some have expressed it in this way. Joy belongs to those who understand that earth is but a rehearsal for heaven. Nothing in life is wasted when one remembers this. As our journey ends, or should I say, begins, let me encourage you. Don't be a wallflower at the world's disco. Enjoy the true Christmas dance during this season and every day of the year.